How's it going, Reef Keepers? Welcome to Season 2 of We the Reefers. Finally, the long summer drought is over. My kid is officially back in school, and I'm just prepping for the fall semester to begin when I begin teaching. And once my schedule's locked in this fall, you know, it'll be game on for content creation again, which I've been really looking forward to. As much as I enjoy spending time with my family in the summer and, you know, being with my kid, you know, most every day and, you know, scrambling to grade papers for online classes at night. You know, that there's an element of upheaval to that kind of unpredictability of the summer that doesn't jive well with my brain. And eventually I'm like tired out and I'm like, which is funny that like the real part of the you know, work year for me, is actually like what I'm most comfortable with, but I'm most comfortable being locked into a schedule. So I know exactly what's happening and when. That's, that always, you know, puts me at ease. So pretty happy with that. Looking forward to that. I will mention, I got, a new microphone, like a big boy microphone, a legit one. I don't think it's actually that legit, but it's one that has like a stand and sits in front of me, which is, you know, something I thought I would never get. But over the summer, I attempted to film a random episode of WTR, and I my little like lapel mic failed like halfway through it, and that drove me pretty crazy. So I invested in, you know, something that's more stable, something that's more of a sure bet that I know is in front of me and working. You know, I can actually, you know, see the functionality of it. So anyway, I don't know, because there's like actual settings on this thing, I have no idea what I'm doing. I have to like figure out sound now, I guess. Whole new, you know, frontier for me. So I did do a couple test runs on this thing. And I basically have all the sliders on it for all the settings set like dead center. So you guys will have to tell me if you, you know, see this as an improvement or not. And just bear with me. I'm still experimenting with it. I find it strange that like I can hear myself like swallowing and stuff now. I mean, it picks up like a lot more. So that's a little odd, but hopefully, you know, not a big deal to you guys. You guys let me know. I will also say this episode of WTR is going to come out for audio listeners only. And then I will follow it up with video of my tank that the sound is overlaid on and post that to YouTube. So if you want to converse about this episode, hit me up on Instagram. I'm real active on Instagram now. I keep forgetting to mention that. But yeah, my Instagram presence has definitely grown, and that's basically where I communicate now, primarily with, you know, anybody who follows the platform, so to speak. So, you know, reach out on there if you really want to talk about it, or give me a few days to get the video working on YouTube. I had to order some, you know, cables that'll allow for file transfer to occur quicker. Because, you know, it is like, you know, 4K video of a reef tank for, you know, like over an hour. So it's pretty large file size. So yeah, looking to alleviate that process. But anyway, hope you guys had a great summer. I know despite kind of the general day-to-day, you know, craziness of summer, this was a big summer for me. It was a big summer for my tank. I think I'm going to do an episode in the future that is just solely squarely about the changes that I have made to my main reef system. And I actually have huge changes in the making for the 25-gallon nano tank. The clownfish anemone tank just continues to persist as it is. But all three tanks are, you know, chugging along doing, I would say the main system is more than chugging along. My main system is really doing well, and I continue to make, you know, all kinds of slight changes and improvements to it. I'm really happy about where that tank is headed and where it is currently. So pretty thrilled with that. And also, don't know if you guys care, but, I got a promotion at work, which is pretty sweet. So, In teaching, you have like, in college teaching, I should say, you have like an army of adjunct instructors who get paid by the class, and they're like contingent employees. So like your employment and your income is wholly contingent upon how many courses the university has left over after quote unquote full-time instructors, you know, and full-on professors like take on, you know, the course loads that they so choose. So whatever's left gets thrown to the pool of adjuncts, and it's very difficult to get out of the pool of adjuncts. You know, the university system in America is such that, you know, adjunct has become par for the course, and it's really unfortunate. It's kind of a bad shake, especially for people with like master's degrees and greater, who've worked really hard to get where they are and are often extremely passionate. But I was fortunate enough to, through my hard work, get recognized for that hard work by my department. And I was able to attain a position in like full-time faculty. So I am basically, I don't have to worry about, you know, student population contracting and me having to sell all my reefing equipment because I only got one class to teach during one of the main semesters. So that's like a huge burden off of me. I mean, it feels really good to just have like financial certainty and like, you know, be able to have my salary rise regularly with inflation. And like, I mean, it's just, it's way better. So, super, super happy about that. Yeah, I'm excited. New income level should kick in like September. And I mean, it's not like it's big money or anything. But it's enough money that like I can actually look at getting some interesting toys and critters for the reef tank and kind of plan it out and like actually follow through on it and not just like randomly do that kind of stuff when money's good. You know what I mean? I can actually be like, all right, you know, in a couple months, I'm going to get this or that. So that's exciting. Pretty awesome. Anyway, enough about me. I want to focus in this episode. I'm going to ease into the content. I'm going to ease back into this podcast. I've been away from it for a while, and there was so much that transpired in the reef keeping hobby over the course of the summer. I mean, if you guys follow along, you know, if you're big on Facebook and reef keeping or Instagram and reef keeping, and you follow along closely by any measure, I mean, you know that, I mean, it was kind of a wild summer as far as, especially like on the industry side and even a little bit on like the, you know, livestock side, some of the stuff that's gone on, right? Most recently that like ban on, certain clams, or proposed ban by the U.S. government. I have to look into it still and get the details on it, but you know, that situation is constantly evolving. I feel like new things are happening in the livestock side, like, you know, every month. I need to pay more attention to that. I'm so industry and gear focused. I need to really like go out of my way to pay attention to, you know, the side of the hobby that's about the actual things we keep in our tank. So yeah, I plan on kind of keeping my ear to the ground in that sector of the hobby more. But on the gear side, you know, on the industry side, my Lord, yeah, it's been an eventful summer, and it's so eventful that like, I almost struggle to, you know, when I was trying to line up, like, what do I want to talk about this season? Like, how do I want to kick this season off? I was just like, man, I feel overwhelmed. Like, I don't even really know where to begin or how to like, you know, how to parse through in like an organized, like sensible way, like what has gone down. So I think I'm going to like piecemeal it out and take it really slow. Maybe some episodes of WTR are a little bit shorter so that I can like, you know, logically group and piecemeal out things that have been going on and kind of go back over them. That's why I wish I could do more in the summer. You know, that's why I wish, if I could have covered that as things were happening on the industry side, I wouldn't feel that way. And you guys would have a lot more episodes, but so it goes, right? I'm going to ease back into content by talking about media today, like in reef keeping. So like, I'm going to focus disproportionately on reef builders because when it comes to media in the hobby, like that's my kind of go-to media source, right? But I just want to converse loosely about like reef keeping media and like what it is, what it means, you know, what's at stake. So, when I really started to think about this, you know, I realized that it's kind of amazing that we have media sources at all in the reef keeping hobby. And if you really think about it, it's like, wow, you know, because the hobby is so impossibly small. Like reef keeping, which includes like coral, right, is like a subset of saltwater aquarium keeping, which is a subset of like aquariums in general, which is already like, I would have to imagine, a smaller subset of the pet industry than like, you know, cats and dogs and stuff like that. So like we are literally like one of the most niche, specialized, you know, contingents of, you know, hobbyists in the entirety of like pet owners, maybe of the entire like pet world. So it's crazy to me that, and I know it's a high dollar hobby, right? And that's probably why we can support like certain media sources, but it's amazing to me that we have media sources at all. And when I started to look at those media sources, it makes sense to me that the media sources in the hobby, from my standpoint at least, how I look at them, there's a wide variety of like, you know, forms, I guess, of media. So I would say that like Reef Builders is probably the most like polished together group of, as far as media sources are concerned. And they're doing the most like quote unquote traditionally media things, right? Like publishing, you know, putting out breaking news announcements on social media with, you know, quick little articles tagged when things happen, like the ban on clams the other day when all that information came out. And, you know, writing like, you know, detailed articles about, you know, various things, and having guest contributors who are, you know, like paid or give their time to put forth articles so that they can publish them. And, you know, keeping all those articles like curated and trying to drive traffic through those articles. Like that's pretty traditionally media feel to me. And I, you know, I would say like the closest that comes to this outside in reef keeping specifically outside of Reef Builders would be like reefs.com, which reefs.com is, I'll be honest with you, until I really started like thinking about this topic and like kind of poking around, I guess I knew of the existence of reefs.com, but I was not like, I can't really remember ever going there like purposefully, you know what I mean? And I think that's because it seems like reefs.com, whereas a Reef Builders is earnestly trying to generate content and push out content, it doesn't feel like that. And I could be wrong, by the way. This is literally my personal perception. But it doesn't feel like reefs.com, what they're doing is quite the same in that sense. It seems like reefs.com is generating articles and stuff like that, kind of like, you know, at the pace that its contributors so choose to produce articles, you know, and they seem fewer and farther between, you know, than what Reef Builders produces. And that's not to say there's not some really great stuff. As I poked around reefs.com, I was impressed by how organized it is. It was easy to navigate. They have like an app. I haven't tried the app, but they have an app. I mean, that's pretty impressive alone. And they had a bunch of really interesting articles that I spotted. Excuse me. So, you know, reefs.com is interesting for sure. And it's the nearest, like, it's doing something that is in the same, like, the same vicinity of what Reef Builders is doing. Or they're the closest to that, I would say, from what I have found. And by the way, if you guys know sources that are like, you know, in Australia or Europe that are doing, you know, something kind of traditionally media like Reef Builders, please let me know. I'd love to follow them. And, you know, I just don't, I haven't accessed them yet. But outside of these sources, these, you know, couple of sources that seem to be doing more traditionally things, alongside, by the way, like Reef Builders also is kind of like a hybrid, because I think they have to be to drive views and attention. You know, they also go and produce a lot of content where they're like touring coral farms and going and looking at, you know, amazing private reef tanks and talking to industry experts and scientific experts. And, you know, I mean, like whole litany of, you know, running Reef Therapy, the podcast, like whole sector of, like, you know, media engagement that's all like video and audio driven. And I think you kind of have to be dynamic in that way. Like every major media company, you know, for whether it's WAPO or Fox or like, you know, MSNBC, whatever, all these major news organizations, you know, on a national or world level also run their own little like podcast or daily news briefs, or, you know, they're, you know, posting video all the time. And like, that's just kind of the nature of the beast now, I think, in media. It kind of always was the nature of the beast for Reef Builders. In fact, I'm pretty sure they started, I could be wrong, I, you know, didn't follow them closely enough at the time, but I'm sure that Jake probably got most of his traction back in the early days of posting for Reef Builders, you know, from video content. Like, I could be wrong, maybe he was writing articles before he was doing videos, totally possible. But at least my awareness of Reef Builders, like, came from seeing video from Jake, right? And I think it's that way for a lot of people. So, there are other media entities as well. So, like, but I wouldn't call them traditional or traditionally, you know, like traditional-esque media. There's, you know, entities in the hobby, like, you know, like Polo Reef's kind of interesting to me in this way. Like, Polo Reef to me seems to like oscillate between wanting to be something more than a vanity project and then like just like, you know, look how cool all of our stuff is. Like, kind of, it, you know, I think it started out vanity and now it's like, you know, sometimes kind of trying to become more. And then, like, it, you know, their attempts to kind of get into more than vanity, I'm like, oh, interesting, it's happening. And then it's like it drops off and I'm like, was that happening? Maybe not. So it's interesting. And there's a lot of, like, you know, of course, not on the funding level of like a Polo Reef, because I'm pretty sure that's got to be the most like concentrated money in the hobby. At least in, you know, that one man can control. But there are other entities that kind of get into that territory as well, right? Like, I would argue that even BRS, like back in the day, back when they used to run something called a YouTube channel, that they would kind of dip into that, right? Like, they would at least they were running a podcast where they would talk about what was going on in the industry. And then they would produce video, especially like interviews with experts and stuff, where they would like also kind of do a little bit of like newsy function, you know, or like reporting function. But that's kind of completely gone away. And it just seems like there's entities that are like quasi reporting structures because they don't always do it. They do it sometimes, but not always. And then there's this whole litany of like amateur, like, you know, social media presence people, like Greg Carroll and his live streams, right? Who do this like a weekly or daily live stream, or, you know, they do whatever, like, you know, little like YouTube events or something, or maybe they run a podcast or whatever, and they give, you know, like check-ins with stuff that's going on and their thoughts on stuff that's going on, or they have guests who talk, like, whatever. It's kind of like, in those situations, it's almost like what you can glean about the hobby. Like, if it comes up, it comes up, you know what I mean? It's not like they're going out there and like driving for that content, like, you know, on a day-to-day or week-to-week, month-to-month basis. when it happens to be talked about, it happens to be talked about. When that's like, you know, in the forefront of the conversation, it happens to be there. So it's a true amalgam, right? Like media, quote unquote, in the reef keeping hobby. I mean, you have all different types, but really not that many total sources that are even like quasi media. So, I mean, that reflects the niche, you know, very small nature of the hobby, I think. But as I indicated earlier, like, you know, Reef Builders is my default because I find them to be a really unique beast. And I don't think there's anything else quite like them in the hobby. And with their current trajectory, I feel like they have the most promise, right? You know, so like, let me explain. So presumably, you know, and again, my perception, right? I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but like from where I sit, Reef Builders seems to derive its sponsorship. So like companies that are, you know, giving money to Reef Builders to fund it, to, you know, to keep it going. I mean, of course they make money on content, right? Like from YouTube income and stuff like that. You're going to make some money on that. You hope to make a lot of money at it because then you have like less sponsorship reliance. You know, I would think if you were a media organization, like the more like, you know, money we can produce ourselves, the less we have to worry about, you know, necessarily tracking down sponsorship. But from what I can tell, and like, again, maybe the perception is different for other people. From what I can tell, Reef Builders sponsors seem to be kind of all over the board. I think that's a good thing, right? I think that's a, you know, I won't say it's a unique thing because, again, there's nobody else I can really compare them to in the hobby. There's not like, you know, Reef Creators, who's doing the same thing as Reef Builders. And I'm like, oh, you know, Aperture is just bankrolling Reef Creators compared to Reef Builders, who's like, you know, kind of getting sponsorship from all over the board. I can't make that comparison. But from what I can tell, just from like the banner, you know, sponsors that, you know, run at the beginning of videos or like the coverage itself, like what kinds of manufacturers they talk to or what kind of gear they review, or it does not seem to me that there's like any kind of compelling argument to be made for like, oh, Reef Builders is like totally, you know, pigeonholing themselves with this one company or companies. It seems to me that like, you know, sponsorship seems to be a pretty, like when you're a Reef Builder sponsor, you know, they care about it. You know, I can see that. But it doesn't seem like they care about one more than the other, which I think is really respectable, right? That's a really commendable thing. Again, my perception, you guys tell me if you have a different perception, but like, I think that's pretty commendable. And when I talk about this, by the way, I talk about this from like a now standpoint, like right now, right? Like from like Raj taking over Reef Builders to now, I have not sensed like, I've not sensed like a huge wonk toward one entity or another as far as like favoritism would be concerned, or like lean, so to speak. And I think that's good, right? Because let me expand on it and like relate it to our world now. So our world now, in the era of like, at least on a national level in America, of like quote unquote fake news, right? Everybody's looking for fake news all the time. So I think that like, you know, people perceive the news, and I think rightly so in most cases, to be basically a product of what, like to basically produce perceptions that are attempting to impact society based on the wishes of an elite wealthy few who are funding that news organization, right? Like, you know, publicly funded news in America is like weak to non-existent. It's all like, you know, news organizations that are bankrolled by rich people, basically. And so like you look at those rich people who have like, you know, investorship or like ownership positions and stakes in news companies, you know, like Fox News or MSNBC, like, you know, CNN, like these kinds of national news entities. And you're like, oh, these people either like bankroll this news organization or own it or like, you know, invest in it or like are otherwise associated with it because of their political leanings or whatever. Therefore, I don't trust it because I know that like those people can sway that content however they want and they can like, you know, affect the perception of that content however they want to try to make the masses of people do as they please, right? To as a means to an end for like a higher set of goals that is probably definitely benefiting super rich and powerful people, right? So like I think that's where like a lot of like animosity toward media, especially like traditional-esque media, is coming from in today's world, is I think there is like more awareness of that now than there probably ever has been. At least, and maybe I put that wrong. I think people care. Like, I think people are always aware. I think people care more about that now than they ever have before. Probably because the country, everything is so politicized now, right? Everything is like, you know, just like on a hair trigger. But I think that reef builders either just by the nature of like, you know, and I guess it would be, you know, Raj as like the primary leader here, either by just how he operates, like I'm not going to like, you know, put anyone up on a pedestal over anyone else who has, you know, money involved in the reef builders game, or like by conscious decision, right? Like we are consciously going to attempt to not, you know, get way too deep in with one entity because then people will stop trusting us. Whether it's just his nature or it is literally like, you know, something that they work at, I think they're doing a pretty good job. And I think that that's like, I think that's laudable, right? That's a really laudable thing. And it's kind of rare in like, you know, media that gets into like the traditional-esque media game, right? But so like weird things have kind of like, I've noticed gone on with like reef builders in recent, like since I guess Raj took over. So like, you know, to kind of recap the story, I'll kind of start where I started with reef builders. Like with reef builders for me, I started with reef builders like day one in this hobby. Like they were one, along with like BRS and like, you know, a couple other channels. They were like one entity that I immediately, like Jake Adams videos, I was like, okay, like I'm trying to learn how to really do this hobby. And this guy, he's exploding like a basket full of cherry bombs for this hobby at all given times in all content, right? Like that, I think, you know, Jake, as experienced as Jake was, like, I think that his deep level of like history and experience with the hobby and with reef keeping is actually his, which is crazy to say, but I think it's like his second greatest asset. I think his first greatest asset was literally like an almost an illness obsession with the reef keeping hobby. Right. Which like, you know, I love this hobby and I'm obsessed with it. I live it and breathe it like in all of my free time. And I still don't think I even like understand to a fraction of a degree how obsessed Jake was with the hobby. And I think that like you need somebody like that if you're going to be like an organization that is like, you know, needs to find financial footing and stability in large part due to the content creation of people, you know, an individual or individuals on your team. I think you need at least one Jake, you know, or you need a group of people who are all like, you know, still pretty massively invested, you know, in the hobby itself, in the subject matter itself. So like, you know, I was immediately drawn in. And when reef therapy began, that really became my jam. Like in my previous life, in the private sector, I would travel a ton. I was constantly traveling all throughout my territory. And man, listening to Jake and Mark on Reef Builders was like, you know, when a new episode would drop, I was so happy. And when I left the private sector, because my soul was dying and I was a husk of what was formerly a human being, when I left and came back to education, because it's where my heart was, I was walking to campus every day, long distances, because in the city I live in, living close to the heart of the city is extremely expensive. So, but walking is like my main form of exercise. It still is. So I would walk to and from campus in the Mississippi heat, very nearly an unbearable experience. I got thick northern blood. I'm from Kalamazoo. So like, you know, it was hot. And one of the things that got me through those walks was literally listening to Reef Therapy, right? And I remember listening to the last Reef Therapy that came out right before Jake passed. That was so weird to me to be like, oh, there's not going to be Reef Therapy this week because he's gone. Like, that was super weird. And, you know, I won't pretend that, like, oh, you know, like, Jake meant so very much to me. You know, like, it's been really interesting since Jake died, I don't even know how to begin to describe the impact of him passing on the hobby, both in real terms and, by the way, in, like, fake terms. Like, I feel a lot of, like, I feel that Jake is often used as, like, a body shield, you know, for, like, winning arguments and stuff that I see going on like, Reef to Reef or, you know, YouTube comments or whatever, or on Instagram. I feel like that's really, really weird. Like, people who never even, met the guy, shook his hand, like, you know, using him as, like, a way to end a, you know, well, Jake did this, you know, and it was Jake. Like, is that, this is the end of the conversation. I win. And it's like, that's weird, man. I see a lot of that go on. I've seen some weird, like, what I suspect to be, you know, fakeness associated with, you know, people, you know, and their feelings around his death. I've seen a lot of, like, him being used in his death as a means to an end. And I never liked that. I think that's super strange and unfair. But I have also seen plenty of, like, genuine sadness, right? That I totally buy. I'm like, you know, and I know that it's not, like, it's strange. It's not, like, sadness, like, you know, he was my best friend and I lost him sadness. Like, it couldn't be that. But tons of people had this, like, you know, he was their guy, you know, like, Jake was their guy. And I think that a lot of the hobby for whom Jake was, like, their guy or one of their guys, I think that a lot of the hobby has yet to still, and that's strange too, that, like, years later, it still lingers. But I feel like a lot of people have yet to deal with their sadness about that. And I feel like that, like, lingering, like, you know, dejection and sadness, you know, with his passing has really had, like, a detrimental effect on the crowd or mass psychological effect regarding Reef Builders in the here and now. And I think it's unfair. Let me explain. So I would argue that today, now, like, Reef Builders is a whole organization, right? Of, like, people who you see, whoever you follow, whatever segments of Reef Builders you adhere to, who you feel is at the forefront of Reef Builders right now, who the face of the organization is probably going to be different than mine, right? To me, the face of the organization, especially because, like, Reef Therapy is, like, my bread and butter. I've watched every episode and I will continue to watch every episode. Remy and Salem, right? So, like, to me, like, Reef Builders is the Remy and Salem show, right? But they have this whole, like, cast and crew of, like, brilliant supporting people. So, like, you know, Windsor is still with them. I know Jeremy overseas does a ton. And, like, then you have people like, you know, contributors who can, like, you know, at a, you know, pin drop, they can jump in and contribute in a massive way who are close to the organization, like Sean Ono, right? I love when Sean Ono goes on, you know, Reef Recap or Reef, he was on Reef Therapy a while back. Young and brilliant. Like, there's, and there are people who are in the orbit, I sense, of Reef Builders who contribute either like with their under their own name, where they're doing like series or like, you know, themes that they cover and publish articles on for Reef Builders, or get tapped to be guests for Reef Builders, or there's a whole bunch of like guest writers who just are listed as like guest writer. But I'm pretty sure the Reef Builders network, you know, compared to most networks in one of the tiniest like hobby spaces on earth, like it's pretty, you know, healthy and extensive, with a lot of smart, talented people associated with it, right? So like what the, you know, who what figure is like leading the charge for Reef Builders in your mind could very well be different than me, right? But for me, again, it's like Remy and Salem. So like the Remy and Salem dynamic has been like, since they kind of took over, and I would say most people probably see it this way too, because they are, I think, probably the most visible. So like the Remy and Salem dynamic, I think, is absolutely phenomenal. And it's very strange to me to still be hearing this like murmur in the background of the hobby. And the murmur goes something like this. Oh, Reef Builders is really falling off, you know. Reef Builders, Jake, is a Reef Builders falling off. They're not the same. Jake. And I'm just like, what? Like, I don't understand. So, like, yeah, Jake passed. And Jake was an absolute giant, right? Because he was like basically had like obsessive compulsive disorder, where like if he did not reef keep like 12 hours a day or do things related to reef keeping like 12 hours a day, he like couldn't live with himself. You know what I mean? So like that is a unique beast. That is like, that comes along very infrequently, right? And I also think that he really, and again, I'm just project, this is my projection, this is my, like, you know, I'm guessing, he seemed really to me to be a workaholic, and be like workaholic people who have that much passion, they also kind of tend, usually inadvertently, to be a little bit control freaky, right? So like Jake was publishing articles all the time, making video content all the time, maintaining reef tanks all the time. He was intricately tied in with, you know, what was going on in the business and sponsorships. And like it, you are spread so thin, you know, in that pursuit and pursuing everything all the time, being spread out in all these different directions. So it's interesting, like that now, let me think how I want to say this. Let me proceed carefully, because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. So like, I often felt that Jake was spread too thin, right? I listened to Jake because he had a wealth of experience that very few people could hold a candle to. And he was a smart guy. Right? Absolutely. And his passion was literally like, you know, infectious, like to the nth degree. Reasons that I did not really love Jake. I kind of thought that he came off as a dick, like a lot, right? Like, and again, I mean, like this is why I tread carefully. Like I give him all the credit in the world. But I thought he came off as a dick a lot of times. And I also thought that I could tell that he was kind of spread too thin at times, right? And when I mean, I've watched so much Reef Builders content it's almost like I could tell the times when that was happening. Like he kind of, like, I feel like Reef Builders now is the content, is more careful. You know what I mean? Like, there's more thought behind it. It often seemed to me under Jake, content was just being spammed out, right? And it often seemed when he would, like, Jake would not hesitate if a piece of gear was terrible. He would tell you it was terrible, right? So, like, you know, there was that level of objectivity. But oftentimes I felt like just by the nature of him being spread in so many different directions, he was just kind of regurgitating what, like, the company had told him about a product when he was, you know, loosely discussing a product. And I don't sense as much of that now, right? I sense, like, you know, like, Reef Builders not really getting behind any product, especially until they've, like, extensively tested it. And then the consideration for products, which, by the way, is less. They do less product stuff now because Jake was a gearhead too, as well as being obsessed with corals and all that, you know. And I don't know that, like, Remy and Salem are gearheads on this, in the same sense that Jake was. And maybe that content will come, right? But I often felt that Jake was spread so many different ways. It was just kind of regurgitation, right? Also, I sensed a little more like, again, I've said it 100 times. This is my perception. I sensed more like a softer approach to certain companies, especially ones that were, you know, providing, like, a lot of free stuff. Like when Aperture started sucking up entities left and right. There goes Ecotech. There goes Neptune. You know, more exclusive distribution partnership. Like, when all that was going on, when I listen back on, like, Reef Therapies and, like, other discussions at the time that Jake was a part of, Jake was, like, kind of defending that. He was, like Mark, like, easygoing Mark was way more skeptical of what could result of all that than Jake was. I mean, Jake was, like, you know, close to screaming in a couple of different Reef Therapies about, you know, all these people need to shut up on Reef to Reef about talking about, you know, what bad could come of this. You know, nothing's going to change, or it'll be fine, or it'll be better. And it wasn't. It wasn't at all, right? Like, this hobby has undergone tremendous upheaval, and I think is worse for what Aperture has done to it. And again, that's perception. I truly believe that they did terrible damage to, like, innovation and, like, pricing and, like, just the like quality of the hobby on the industry side. I really do. I think that they, I'm not going to get into it. I have gone for entire episodes on that, but Jake was literally like, he, like, defended that, you know. He was like, you know, I mean, like, to the point where he's cutting Mark off sometimes to defend it, to defend Aperture and what they were doing. And so it's always confusing to me when people are like, and by the way, I don't know what this effect is. People seem to really attack Remy a lot. And I've literally seen people say stuff like, oh, he just feels like so much more of a shill to me than Jake did. And I'm looking at the actual content and what happened at, you know, again, it wasn't all the time. I'm not calling Jake, like, a perpetual shill. But I really look at that Aperture period as, like, an interesting case study on, like, Jake and, like, how he felt about these things. And then I look at, like, Remy and what he's doing, where I've sensed none of that. And I look at that criticism, like, he's more shilly than Jake, you know, or he's, like, you know, defending sponsors and stuff more than Jake or whatever. And I look at that and I'm like, okay, I think you're confusing the fact that, like, Jake could often be, like, a hardcore dick, and you're thinking just because that was his personality that he went hard at everybody in all these companies all the time and he was, like, some renegade against them. He wasn't, right? Like, he really, that was not, maybe, again, if the product was really, really bad, maybe, but, like, he really, it wasn't, like, his tact on, like, a daily basis. So that's always interesting to me. And I feel like Remy gets, you know, punched in the face by the like general hobbyists more than Salem does, because I think that like Salem, like the spirit that Salem, and you know, that you can see in him, I think that it reminds people of Jake, right? So like, you know, and again, like Salem's real young, but like, you know, so he doesn't have like the involvement on all these different, you know, levels, I don't think, that like, you know, Jake obviously did. But regardless, like people can see the spark of Jake living on in Salem. And I think that's what, again, like despite Salem's deep scientific knowledge that he can bring to the table, like formal, like, you know, college education, scientific knowledge, and how incredibly valuable that is, I think probably in the long term to Reef Builders, his greatest asset, and probably his greatest asset for many of us, because we love to watch it, just like we love to watch Jake for it, is the passion, right? I mean, it's just like boiling over in every conversation about reef keeping that I see that guy in. And it's interesting, like, because he has so much passion, right? It's often unbridled when he gets rolling. And I think that's where, like, Remy provides this, like, seasoned, calm, collected counterbalance to Salem. And I think that they feed off each other, because Remy's a pretty laid-back guy. But I think he like, rises a little bit to match Salem's energy. But Salem also, like, will look at Remy and be like, okay, like, you know, we are very different in this moment. I'm going to kind of, like, bring my hyperness down to your level for a second. Like, I think that they really complement each other so very well. Also, if you really listen close to, like, Reef Therapy episodes, like, Remy typically plays the role of, like, shepherding the conversation. And by the way, he's an absolute expert in this. I feel like he's super intuitive. So like, I feel like he's way more intuitive than Jake ever was. Jake ran people over in conversations like all the time. Even Mark, he'd just run them over, man. And that always bothered me. I hate listening to content like that when it is like that. And it wasn't like that all the time. But it's like watching like more awkward episodes of The Office when like Michael Scott is just like doing something absolutely wild that's like super offensive, and I would literally have to like look away from it because I feel so much internal embarrassment. Like when Jake would just steamroll somebody in conversation or like correct them on a coral name or whatever. Oh, so that would make me like cringe, and like it really like so like. Like, again, some people, like, you can like what you like. I'm not knocking you if you liked that. If you found it entertaining to just watch, you know, and like, and again, it wasn't all the time. Let's say it was 25% of the time he was running people over. If you like that, that's cool. Like, just, I can't tell you what to like. But, like, I've never, not once, seen Remy just steamroll somebody, right? By the way, for that matter, I've never seen Salem in any of their content ever just steamroll somebody. So from my perspective, and maybe it's because like at heart, I'm a pretty introverted individual who like, you know, in a situation that is like, you know, awkward or something, like I'm always the guy that if somebody does something embarrassing, I'm like looking away to save them the embarrassment. After I know they're not hurt, I'm going to like look away. Because I want to act like I didn't even see it so that they are saved a little bit of embarrassment, because that's me. That's how I am, right? I'm not the guy who stands there and laughs at them. I feel like, you know, that's like my personality is much more like comfortable with Remy and Salem in this way, especially Remy, right? So that's always curious to me. It's always curious to me that people will attack, you know, again, especially Remy, for like, you know, feeling shilly or whatever. And or like, you know, I just don't enjoy watching him, or he's not experienced enough or whatever. Like, maybe he doesn't have all those years of reef keeping experience, but I think that his experience with people and like intuition and running a conversation are so much vaster than what Jake brought to the table. I remember one episode with Jake. This is just one of my favorites. So it wasn't an episode of anything. I think it was just like, you know, checking out a tank, you know, because Jake would just do that sometimes. Like, oh, I'm on a plane. I'm here now. And I'm like at this guy's house. We're going to look at his tank. In this case, it was Sanjay, I think. I want to say he was at Sanjay's actual house. So like he went to Sanjay's actual house. Sanjay fed him dinner. He ate dinner with Sanjay and his wife. And then they were looking at like Sanjay's, I think, soft coral tank, soft coral or LPS tank. That's like right in the middle of Sanjay's house, or right in his foyer or like whatever. And Sanjay was like trying to talk about the tank. And Jake literally, like in the middle of Sanjay talking, answering a question that Jake had asked him, by the way, Jake just blurts out the proper name of a coral. So like Sanjay said, like, you know, whatever, this is like an eternal gobstopper or whatever. And Jake literally was like, it's a bibbidi bobbidi, and just absolutely steamrolled him. And again, it was who Jake was. Like, Jake couldn't help it, man. Like, that's just who he was. There are people who, basically all people, in my unesteemed opinion, they just are a certain way. And some people have a little more control over, like, how they act. Like, but Jake just didn't. He just, I don't think he was really interested in that, like, having that control anyway. He just was who he was. He was very comfortable with that. And I remember it was so funny. So he corrects Sanjay, and Sanjay just looks up for a second, looks right at Jake, and he just goes, I don't care about the proper taxonomic names of corals, and just keeps on rolling. And Jake did not correct him one more time. Oh my God, that was hilarious to me. So like, there were times, by the way, that like Jake's attitude, there were select times when, depending on the person who he steamrolled, their response actually made it a brilliant like moment. So like sometimes it was really entertaining. Sometimes it was just cringy, but I feel like we avoid that completely under like, you know, in the Remy and Salem at the forefront of Reef Builders era. Right. But I think people are looking at like everything that happened from the moment Raj took over and provided a headshot photo for the announcement of him buying Reef Builders that literally made him look like he was like a Wall Street mogul, right? He's made fun of himself for that, by the way. He's not going to get mad that I said that, but he literally, like, you can look at you, I'm sure you can find it if you just, you know, Google it. But like immediately upon Raj taking over, the backlash began. And I think really part of it was driven hilariously by the fact that Raj's a business guy. He owns like, you know, a business that services public aquarium, and not services public aquariums, I don't think, but provides like custom gear and stuff for him, and super successful at that. So like, he is a wealthy, successful dude. But like this, and I'm sure that headshot was for like some kind of like business magazine or something. And as he said it, he just sent a headshot when Reef Builders requested a headshot. It's literally like the most Wall Street thing I have ever seen in my life. And by the way, I remember seeing that headshot and being like, okay, Reef Builders is going to be completely commercialized now. That's literally what I thought. I didn't know anything about Raj. I saw that headshot and I was like, it's over for Reef Builders. So like, people who think that, just understand, like, people who thought that, I don't think anyone thinks that anymore, but the like bad feels started immediately, right? And Remy did work for BRS for a while, right? So he was Bahama Llama Coral first, and then because he loves the hobby and he wanted, I think, to make like a career in the hobby, he was like, oh, like, you know, BRS is kind of like assembling like the Avengers on YouTube of people who can go and create content for them, and like they're interested, and like, you know, again, I'm putting words in his, you know, I don't know, but you know, were I in his shoes with, you know, a goal of making, you know, potentially a life out of the hobby, like, yeah, I mean, at the time, BRS was still like a shining city on a hill, right? So he went and worked for BRS, and it was very short-lived. But I feel like people still, like, for some people, Remy became, like, not Remy Bahama Llama. He became Remy Bulk Reef Supply. And so I think that as Aperture's, as their, like, reputation tanked, like, even though it was unfair because it seemed like Remy was pretty dissatisfied and quickly got out of that position, I feel like he now is like one of his shoelaces is attached to Aperture and they're just like sinking to the bottom of the ocean reputation wise. And Remy's just like trying to swim to the surface while he gets dragged by a shoelace in the eyes of some people. I think that happened. And I don't think it's fair at all. Like go look for Remy content at BRS. You're not going to find very much, right? I don't think that lasted very long. I don't think that was for him. And, but I feel like that did at the time, especially because it was, you know, when he went to Reef Builders, it had happened not that long before. I think that more people felt like that at first. So it was like, you know, Wall Street business mogul guy with that redonkulous headshot comes in and immediately hires, you know, this guy who shilled out to BRS. What the hell? Reef Builders is destroyed. I think people felt like that, which is really interesting to me, because I'd followed like Reef Builders and Bahama Llama for so long. And I knew that like just from following Bahama Llama that Remy wasn't in the BRS game anymore. And that had like, you know, ended pretty quickly. And so it didn't bother me. It didn't bother me like it bothered other people at first, right? Like, again, I don't think anybody's bothered by it anymore. I think, you know, even people who were heavy skeptics of it, they've since come around and realized this isn't, you know, that's not Remy's end goal. He's not Mr. Commercial. And also, I don't know how you could possibly look at Raj and be like, this guy's trying to run Reef Builders like a Wall Street mogul, like the guy in his headshot would. You know, I don't, it's not fair. Because Raj also brings in Salem, who I would say, like, I would say that Salem is one of the, like, you know, as far as being involved in a platform that requires like sponsorship to operate for cash flow and is looking at products all the time and interviewing people in the industry and is, you know, presumably close to a lot of these people, that's got to be like the most, like, you know, a like skeptical, like ready to doubt and ready to question people, individuals that I have ever seen. And Remy's like right along with him. Like Remy asked the hard questions too in Reef Therapy episodes all the time. So I've just been fascinated by this lingering, like this lingering weirdness about, you know, Reef Builders. Like, again, this like echo of, well, they've fallen off, you know, Jake, without Jake, they've really fallen off. And I think that that feeling is propagated by certain individuals too, by the way, potentially for gain, you know, potentially. I'm not throwing that as a, you know, I'm not condemning anyone for it, but, you know, like I kind of try to watch as much as I can watch in the reef keeping hobby of like, you know, streams and stuff that other people do. And it just seems to me like certain individuals, like, you know, never hesitate to take a dig at Reef Builders when they can. You know what I mean? Like they really don't, they really will go ahead and make down, you know, they're falling off. I hear that all the time from people and I'm about sick of it. Cause I think that Reef Builders is being more like with the influence of Salem and like, you know, the clear impartiality of Remy, like the careful impartiality of him when it comes to content, at least right now, again, anything could change at any time, right? A business is a business. At any moment, like, you know, in the interest of money, a business can change. But right now, it really seems to me like Reef Builders has kind of taken a, we're going to be skeptical and careful first approach. And you see that in everything from there not being like heavy, there not being heavy favoritism of any one, you know, entity that I can tell, all the way down to like, you know, Salem organizing community science projects where he can get like actual numbers of people who are submitting like, you know, clean data so that we can figure out if certain like methodologies are even hold water in the hobby. I mean, that's like, you know, or certain substances that are hawked as, you know, cure-alls or, you know, this will fix everything solutions. And this stuff's actually being like scientifically tested now, like with the scientific method, like as he would say, not BRS science, real science. So, yeah, I just feel like Reef Builders has really found their groove recently, like, you know, maybe even last few weeks, you know, last couple months. And I still feel like there's a lingering like, and I'll say this, if you have strayed, if you were a Reef Builders person and you strayed from Reef Builders, they deserve your attention again, in my opinion. Right. I think that they do. I think they deserve your attention because I think that there are very few media entities that would put in the effort to walk this line. I feel like that effort wasn't always put in the Jake era. I really don't. And I feel like it's put in every day now. And again, it could change, but I sure hope it continues in perpetuity. Because I think that the amount of like respect and clout that they deserve for this is enormous. What worries me is because there's still this lingering, oh, not seen without Jake, because that lingering, like, you know, mass psychological thing has occurred, I don't want them to struggle when they're earnestly out there, you know, producing dang good content, by the way. Like, I feel like they've hit a content stride in the last couple months and are like burning brighter, like right now, even with like Reef Therapy that came out yesterday, like the one with Ishan from Triton. I mean, you go watch the questions that Salem asked Ishan and what, you know, like, by the way, he didn't come at Ishan. He asked totally fair questions, which is like journalistic practice. It's like what you should do. And Ishan was shifting around in his seat a little bit, like, oh, like this really, you know, was hitting at like the heart of my company. I gotta think about how I'm gonna answer this. That is what should be happening. That is healthy for the hobby. And when you have an entity like Reef Builders that's literally putting forth funds, like they are taking Reef Builders money and putting that money toward or using their assets or relationships to support someone with like a scientific background like Salem to, for instance, go out there and say, hey, everybody that seems to be using this series of bottles of stuff continues reporting problems with their whatever LPS dying. I'm going to take that series of bottles that's being sold as like a LPS cure-all. And I'm going to test it and I'm going to put it through its paces and I'm going to run a community science project on it, or I'm going to get aquabiomics testing done on it. I'm going to, like, what else is doing this, guys? Seriously, not very much, right? There's no, I shouldn't necessarily say what, I should also say who. Like, Telegram has done a ton of this and he deserves all the credit in the world for that, right? The amount of curiosities and, you know, various, you know, examinations of certain solutions and substances and, you know, products that Telegram has kicked off, you know, even some of Salem's focal points, I'd probably say, are because of him going out of his way to track this stuff down and then literally put his own personal private money into figuring out what the heck it is. And what kind of effect could it have, positive or negative? By the way, it's usually negative because these companies don't really care about you. Not very many of them, at least, who are trying to sell you bottles of whatever, bottles of mystery juice, right? We've talked about radium doctoring before. It happens all the time. And there's now a concerted effort. So like, you know, for a while there, it was like Telegram doing that testing. I am not sure if Rich Ross Rich Ross has done like sent things in to be tested in that way, but Rich Ross and Ben on Reef Beef were also at the forefront of just being like, stop using stuff just for the hype. Stop using random products. Stop throwing, you know, whatever in your tank, just glugging it all in there and hoping that it's going to make your corals grow three times as fast. Like, stop, stop, stop. By the way, if you don't watch Reef Beef, you should watch Reef Beef. I listen to Reef Beef every single week. And a lot of what I do is directly informed by Reef Beef. Highly, highly recommend that. But like between like the Rich Ross and Ben and like Telegram, like, you know, little mini camp, like really pushing this stuff. And then some people like, you know, Andrew Bauma and Eli, like, you know, doing like, you know, some of this like back end work to analyze this stuff and figure it out as part of that sphere. Like, I struggled to find like what else is there. That's what kind of organization is there that does any of this? And the answer is none, because the organizations in the hobby, they all have money tied in this stuff, right? If there is an organization, like a business organization, they likely have money tied into selling you bottles of mystery juice. So the fact that Reef Builders is serving as an entity that is a media source just for our hobby, that now begins from a place of careful skepticism. You know, I mean, I'm not saying they're perfect. I'm not saying that's going to always happen every time. Sometimes you're just putting the news out. You know, I get that. But it seems to me that the meaningful content that they produce, they are starting from a place now of doubt and skepticism. And that would not be happening unless Salem, Remy, and Raj, and I'm sure some of the supporting people I listed earlier, were not all like, yeah, we're on board with starting from this place. You have to make a conscious decision, right? Because like, look, it would be easier to just rah, 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 everything's great, new product here, new product there, ooh, will this mystery juice work? Guess what all of that represents? Tap, 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 click, 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 ads, 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 money, money, money. That's what that represents. But they're not doing that, right? I'm not saying they're not going to craft their headline to still interest you, but they are not just like, how can we hype whatever new is out there to get people to click it? Just to make cash. As a media organization, I think that they deserve like a much higher amount of respect than they are currently getting, because it at least seems like they don't start from, granted, the bar for media organizations is pretty low in the modern era, but man, they don't seem to be starting from that point, right? So if you're not starting from that point all the time as a media organization, and at least part of the time, maybe every time, you know, like even if you can't tell, you start from a spot of skepticism and doubt and carefully proceed forward, it deserves a, in my book, in our, especially in our hobby in the modern era, oh my God, it deserves a lot of respect, right? So anyway, like that's my reasoning in supporting them and in like being concerned with the fact that there still seems to be this lingering psychological like mass effect where it's like, oh, you know, Reef Builders, it used to be like Jake, if you haven't come circled back around to Reef Builders since the era where they obviously struggled and were always going to struggle post-Jake. Circle back. Because it's well worth it, and they deserve it. And as long as they keep doing this, I mean, this is my, you know, I can't be like a blind fanboy, right? They have to earn it. And it, unfortunately for Reef Builders, because the nature of what they do, they have to continually earn the trust of the hobby every day. Every day, people who think critically and follow Reef Builders are assessing them. Every article they put out, every video they put out, every podcast they put out, I personally, Kalamazoo Reefer, witness the content and assess them every time, consciously or subconsciously. Hey, are you guys starting from a place of doubt and skepticism? Is this just a report where you're just regurgitating stuff? How many of those regurgitations are there, right? How often is that going on? You know, how many hard questions were asked in this interview? Did you make, like, your guest who's, like, running a business, did you make him uncomfortable a couple of times? Because, like, that's what a good, like, journalistic, you know, media company should do. You know, did you guys do enough research behind this that you could actually hold a conversation about it? Did you, like, I look for those hallmarks. By the way, I mean, like, not everybody may look for all those hallmarks. I teach those hallmarks on a daily basis, things to look for, to critically examine content and people and companies. But I'm looking for that all the time. And I know other people out there, more intelligent people than me in this hobby, are looking for that too. And a lot of intelligent people in this hobby seem to have both eyes on Reef Builders right now. And I think that it is because they've earned a level of respect that, you know, they previously may not have ever quite attained, right? Now, in the eyes of the average hobbyist who just wants to see cool tanks all day, like, yeah, they might be a little bit disappointed that it has taken Reef Builders some time to find their identity while still respecting their old identity and, like, building themselves back up to a point where they can be in stride. But they're, in my honest opinion, again, I look at their content that's come out the last month or two and is starting and is coming out right now. Like, they're hot off the presses content that's happening right now. And I'm like, they feel like they are on more sure footing now than I have seen them since Jake. Seriously. Like, I think that they have absolutely found their feet, right? That's not to say a stumble won't happen here or there as they really cement themselves, but I really feel like they're on stable ground now. And I'm happy for that, because what I worry about, what stresses me out about, like, the whole constant murmur of, like, a huge segment of the hobby, oh, you know, falling off. What worries me about that and drives me up a wall about it is, okay, so you stop watching Reef Builders and you stopped watching them because whatever, you had some preconceived notion about Remy and his, you know, brief stint at BRS, or, you know, you didn't like Raj's picture, or heck, because you're just sad about Jake and, you know, you don't know how to, you know, process that, because loss is hard to process. I'm not holding, you know, the conundrum that is human psychology against anybody, but, like, you know, you needed time to heal or whatever. But because of this, like, you know, like mass group mentality, right? This, like, momentum that got going about the whole Reef Builders falling off thing, you know, now you're either thinking it or, like, parroting it. You know, what I worry about with that whole attitude is it's deriving Reef Builders, which is now, again, from where I sit, doing a net positive to this hobby and providing probably the most unbiased, you know, straight shooting content that they have, that I've seen them, you know, present, since I started following them. They're, like, getting, like, unnecessarily punished, like, unjustifiably punished, because people started straying away from them and now have not given them a chance, or just, you know, have formed this, like, solidified opinion where they're just going to, like, murmur about, you know, they fell off forever. And here's what's at stake when a media organization starts doing the right thing, but they are not getting the views and taps and attention they need to get. I mean, they're still a company at the end of the day, right? They're a media organization, but they are a business. They need money, and they derive money from views and attention. So what I worry about is, like, one, they have to make the, you know, unsavory and, but, you know, sometimes apparent, you know, I would say necessary, you know, for a news organization or a media organization decision to go back to just seeking clicks and taps and attention and eyes at all costs, which I'd venture to say none of us want that, right? That would reduce Reef Builders to a hollow shell of what they are today. They could just outright fail if they stuck to their guns, right? Until the bitter end, and they just disappear. That would suck because, you know, again, like, the nearest entity I could see to Reef Builders is like reefs.com. Their traffic would pick up, but again, like, I don't see signs out of that group that, like, they're, you know, trying to, like, enthusiastically, earnestly produce content. So we all get, like, less content and, like, less exposure in the hobby. And, you know, it just, like, we all love content about our hobby and people doing great things, seeing exposure in the hobby. And that would all be reduced for that, and the hobby would be worse for it. But here's what really scares me. If they disappeared, right? Think about in this tiny little hobby where, like, Reef Builders is the only, like, thing doing all the things that Reef Builders does. Think about what could potentially arise in its place. Because whatever rose, if something did rise, would have to have a bunch of funding, right? So, like, there's a limited number of individuals and or entities who could have money in their coffers potentially to make this happen, right? So you're looking at, like, either a hyper wealthy, powerful person who would call all the shots with content and be able to do what at will that what they wanted with the content, so that they could impact your opinion and impact where your dollars are flowing and impact what you care about. Or you're looking at, like, you know, potentially, like, an entity or two on the business side that, again, like, you know, if they chose to create some kind of media arm or media entity to fill that void, what would they give us? Everything stacked and swayed toward a direction that encouraged us all to just continue buying from their products, right? And bankrolling them. The way that the system exists with Reef Builders is imperfect, right? Sponsorship, as we on this podcast, on my channel in general, have long established, like, sponsorship is an imperfect thing. But sometimes to be able to have an entity like Reef Builders in existence, it is a necessary evil to have sponsors. And if you're going to have sponsors, is it not better to have one more of them, so that there's an even spread among the things that have power and sway behind your organization? And two, you know, to be able to approach it, I guess, due to, you know, there being a multitude of them, where you're like, well, there's lots of you, so, like, we're not going to favor any one. Like, we invite all sponsorship, but, like, we're not, you know, and, you know, I would venture to say not all. I don't think they invite all. But essentially they're not going to just pigeonhole themselves into one group or another group. That, to me, that fragmentation of support is better than a concentrated individual or company or a couple of companies basically backing all of it. That's way better. So we run the risk of, like, a darker entity with darker purposes being in control of the flow of information coming from like the media side of this hobby, which is incredibly small. And I don't think it's worth it, right? I don't think that, like, you know, I don't know if saying it, I don't think it's worth it is the right way to put that, but it's because of sadness over Jake or some preconceived notion that any of us had. I guess I don't think it's worth like purposefully ignoring or steering oneself away from Reef Builders when you consider what could happen as a result of, like, you know, just one more person not watching or listening or paying attention to what they're doing, because I think they're doing a net good, right? So speaking of all things Reef Builders, they've got Reef Stock coming up in Chattanooga, and this kind of goes along with this whole new mentality that they have. New approach, new vision for what things should be. I don't know if you guys know this. So I've been to a couple of Reef Paloozas in the past, right? Was not impressed. Reef Palooza is like, you know, flashy, everything, big companies trying to sell stuff, trying to get exposure, obnoxious influencers walking around with selfie sticks, you know, hey, what's going on, Reef Squad? I'm over at the Neptune booth today. Yeah. And that's basically like, I mean, like, Reef Palooza is like shill central, man. Like, that's like, you know, in my honest, again, my unesteemed opinion comes up a lot. It is my podcast, but it is like shilltasticness unbound. And I mean, it's interesting to see some of this at play, like at work. You know, it's, I don't know how many of you guys know this. I'll go back to what I was saying in the beginning. But like at these conventions that happen, a lot of times the elites, so to speak, social media influencers that are tied to companies, the agents of those companies or leaders of those companies that are at the convention, they have this like little boys club thing where they, like, you know, after the show, like, go out and do boys club stuff. And just with each other, though, because they're the cool kids, right? Yeah. So, interestingly to me, Salem, either on Reef Therapy or Reef Recap, like a month back or something, he essentially publicly called for an end to that, like, elite boys club deal at Reef Stock, and was like, instead of doing that and, like, you know, siloing off, you know, these people who are cool enough to be part of that group, I want to open this up and just have everybody who attends be able to just have a good time and mingle and go out for beers. And, you know, so you can walk up and, like, shake Salem's hand, or, you know, walk up and shake Rich Ross's hand, or whoever, I don't know if he's going to be there, but, like, whoever's there, and be perceived as an equal in the reef keeping world, right? That, to me, that feels very different. Very different than what goes on at the, you know, Aquashellas and the Reef Paloozas of the world. And I think it's super admirable. And also, there's going to be guys that sell things that buy booths for their companies at Reef Stock. You have to have a convention. That's how you have a convention. You know, some things must happen. But I sense, and it's just my sense, maybe others don't feel the same way, I sense, and partially because of, you know, the people that Reef Stock attracts and the direction of Reef Builders, I sense that there's a lot more interest in, like, the science and, like, knowledge and the actual animals in the hobby that is being exuded from you know, this reef stock experience that's shaping up for Chattanooga for later in August than what necessarily goes on at like an Opishella or a Reef Palooza. So when it comes to conventions, like, I know Chattanooga is like pretty far off the beaten path for a lot of people. It's an interesting location because Chattanooga is really cool. Like, you know, I'm a guy who's always taken poor guy vacations. I've never like jet setted off to Europe. I never will. I'll never be able to afford going to Hawaii. Like I never. So like, you know, I literally like a vacation for me is like going to Gatlinburg. Like that's like, that's a big time vacation for me. So like, you know, or going like up to like Northern Michigan, you know what I mean? Like, that's a vacation in my world. And so we've gone, my family's gone a couple of times for long weekends to Chattanooga because it's one of those destinations. Like, you know, it's cool. You know, they have a whole bunch of stuff to do there that's family oriented, a ton of stuff to do there that's adult oriented. So whether or not you bring your family, there will be stuff to do for everybody. And I like it. So I appreciate the location for that. You know, it's not just for adults. Like if you wanted to bring your family, you could. And that's unique to me too, that there's like a, you know, it's not like some convention center that's like off the highway somewhere. And like, you know, the coolest thing nearby is like, you know, the hotel bar or like a Waffle House next door, you know, and then your view from your room is like the freeway, right? It's in the heart, the hotel they pick is like in the heart of Chattanooga. Like right downtown. It's I think the Marriott, and the rate seemed pretty good. Right. But I'll tell you guys, like, because of this tact that is being taken with the whole kind of ending the boys club deal and, you know, ending this is only for the elites after everybody leaves the convention hall kind of thing. And kind of the emphasis on like the animals and the science, I'm pretty close to Chattanooga, like if just a few hour drive, you know, and I think I'm going to go. So I don't want to, like, first of all, just let me say, I'm going to be flying under the radar and I don't like, I am not about like, oh yeah, like let's, you know, take a bunch of selfies and you know me, I don't even show my face. Actually just talking about this right now, like gives me like, I can feel my blood pressure going up. But then I think about like meeting some of you guys who have like been around and supported me and my platform and, you know, We the Reefers and, you know, are interacting with me on Instagram every week. And I'm like, I want to meet some of these people so bad. So like I mentioned earlier, like with this promotion I got, like I don't start seeing the money from that until the semester's, you know, fully underway. And that's into September. So like money's real tight right now. So I don't want to disappoint anybody. I'm going to put like a 90% chance on this, but as long as like some crazy thing doesn't happen, my car doesn't like blow out all four tires tomorrow. Like I'm pretty sure I'm going to be there. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be in Chattanooga, for Reef Stock. And I'm doing that. I kind of swore off reef conventions after Reef Palooza put a bad taste in my mouth twice. And I just was like, I'm not about this. And I think that because of what's happening with Reef Stock and how that feels different, I'm so hopeful for it. And I want to support reef builders because I think they've earned it. And so I think it's, oh man, I don't want to get the dates wrong. I think it's August 24th and 25th. I think, little bit of weird timing for a lot of people, kind of strange timing. And again, kind of an off the beaten path location, but like, I would say if you can at all make it and you follow me, my platform, like, you know, and support me, like, I want you to shoot me hop on Instagram and shoot me a DM and let me know that you're going to go. I just want to know, like, you know, who all I could expect to see there. Know that I probably am not going to want to take pictures or anything like that. I'm under no illusions that I'm some kind of like attraction. I have 1500 followers on YouTube. I am small potatoes. I just want to meet you. If you're going to be there, I would love to shake your hand. And I really think I will end up being there. Again, I'm not going to do 100% on it. I'm pretty darn sure. I really do want to go. I think it would be cool. So, yeah, guys, that kind of concludes what I wanted to talk about with all this. You know, hopefully I kind of covered everything. If Reef Builders listens to this, anybody from there, I hope I got details and stuff right. I'm sorry if I didn't. I'm just, again, I'm a guy. I'm a reef keeper. And I just, you know, I right now, because of what Reef Builders has done and the direction that they're taking, the tack that they're taking, I have come to really respect what they are doing within the context of like what they are able to do as like a business. You know what I mean? Like it's always going to be flawed, but I feel like they're doing the absolute best that they can within the, you know, within the flawed parameters within which a business in this hobby must, you know, unfortunately exist. And I really think that's laudable and that more entities in this hobby should aspire to that kind of, you know, just should aspire to that. So, all right, guys, there's a ton to talk about, a ton that's gone on in this hobby. And I'm going to be diving into all of it. I won't say I'm going to have an episode out like every week. I know I said I wouldn't last time I, you know, for season one, and that I basically did. I am teaching an overage of classes so that I can get a little bit of extra money. There were some available, so I took a couple of extra classes. So I won't have quite as much time as I did during the season one run. So I would say like every like, you know, 2-3 weeks throughout like the fall and spring semester, like you could bank on an episode within those time frames. And then I would say, you know, if I figure out the schedule and really get it down pat, and you know, my life feels real structured, then I might be able to do an every week deal. I don't know if there's enough to talk about for that, but I can talk a lot, as you guys know. So as always, thank you for listening to We the Reefers. I really appreciate it. And feel free to reach out to me. And once this is posted in a few days to YouTube, just give me like, I don't know, give me a week after you hear this. It'll be posted to YouTube, and I would love to continue the conversation there. Or if you have some like, you know, real pointed thoughts, I would love to hear from you. Shoot me a DM on Instagram. I'd love it. All right, guys. Hope you guys have a good one.